And now a little bit more on Hurricane Gustav, which came ashore near Cocodrie, Louisiana, this morning. Since then, it's weakened to Category 1. It still packs 90-mile-an-hour winds, though. We want to hear from you if you're in the path of the storm, if you've evacuated. Call and tell us your story, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. And you can also join the conversation on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And with us now from her motel in Lake Village, Arkansas, is Chris Bynum. She's a staff writer for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, evacuated before the storm with her mom and her two dogs. Thanks very much for being with us today.
Hi, Neil.
And tell us a little bit about where you're staying.
I am staying in a fishing town. Well, actually, I'm staying in Lake Village, which is 2,800 people. I'm in a motel that is where most fishermen come to try their luck at bass and catfish. And right now it's full of, all 33 rooms are full of evacuees, and the Labor Day vacationers have gone home.
And what are folks doing?
It's like a backyard barbecue. Kids are splashing in the pool. It seems like everyone has a dog they are walking. Neighbors have gotten together, and everyone knows everyone. It has turned into a small town.
Are these all people from the same part of New Orleans?
Well, there's some people from Plaquemines Parish. There are some people from Metairie and Jefferson Parish, some from Orleans Parish.
So this is an ad hoc village. It just came together there.
It came together all of a sudden. And last night, there was a fellow from Panama City panning the parking lot with his video camera. And I said, "What are you doing?" And he said, I'm making a documentary. And he said, "I've been here so many times coming through on vacation, but I've never seen so many families and dogs and children and cooking together." He said, "I think it's like a town that just cropped up, and I wanted to document this."
When you first got there, did you know everybody else was an evacuee?
No, actually, when I walked in the reception area, there was a woman with her husband and son, and she turned, and she looked at me, and I looked at her, and our eyes just locked. And we didn't say anything. And finally, one of us spoke and said, "Are you from New Orleans?" Because we're in this is an obscure area, and it's not a chain motel. And she said, "Yes, I am." And we immediately walked toward each other, hugged each other, and we actually cried a little bit. And then in the course of these few days, I found out that she had lost her home in Chalmette. I had lost mine in Lakeview. My sister, who is with me, had lost hers in Waveland, Mississippi. And she and her family had just bought a home in Gretna, which is on the West Bank, and they were wondering if they would lose this home to yet another storm.
It's an awful lot of hardship for people to go through and then have to go through again 3 years later.
Yes.
And as you talk to people, are they determined to go back home?
Absolutely. One woman who is a massage therapist, she had worked at Memorial Hospital during Katrina, and I asked her what her plans were if things didn't turn out as well as we hoped. And she said, "Oh, people ask me all the time, why do you go back to New Orleans?" And she said, "Well, because when you meet people on the street and they ask you, 'How's your mom and them?'" which is a New Orleans expression.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "They really mean, 'How's your mother?'" It's not small talk. They really want to know. And she said, the storm can break the buildings, but it won't break our spirit. She had no doubt that's where she belongs.
Yet an awful lot of people last time around found something else somewhere else and didn't come back.
Yes. Now, there are many people who wanted to come back and could not come back,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. In the meantime, you found a little community there. So far, what are people planning for dinner tonight?
Well, the woman that I mentioned meeting the first day, in their SUV, they had packed $400 worth of seafood, crab meat, shrimp, true New Orleanians, and her concern was that she share this food. She brought the food to share. So they ended up cooking with people who were vacationers here from Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And they were grilling shrimp and crawfish, and they set out a big picnic table, and everyone was sitting down and having dinner together. And that is what has happened all weekend. Everyone has shared food, shared conversation, shared their stories. And some people are here on vacation, and some people are here on evacuation.
Any thought yet about when you might be interested in heading back south?
I'm planning on leaving tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning? So
tomorrow morning.
This time tomorrow you should be back home.
Yes, I will. I told my three dogs that they could put it in their calendars.
And the kids that are all there, how are they doing?
They are probably the best examples of the lessons we've learned. Every kid I know, except for a family of five, most of them were, I think, our only children, and now they've made this new group of friends. And I asked one child just a few minutes ago, I said, "Do you miss your friends?" And he said, back home in New Orleans, and he said, "Well, no, I have a cell phone."
Modern technology has also got a bunch of new friends, I bet.
They have a whole, yes, they have new friends.
Chris Bynum, we wish you, and how's your mother doing, I should ask?
Well, actually, I was traveling with my sister.
Ah.
My sister and her three cats, and I'm here with my three dogs, and we're doing great.
Good luck to you, and we hope you make it home safely.
Thank you so much.
Chris Bynum, a reporter for the New Orleans Times-Picayune, with us from her motel in Lake Village, Arkansas. Moving on now to another New Orleanian who's far from home today, President of Tulane University, Scott Cowan, joins us from his hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks very much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure to be with you today, Neil.
And what are you doing in Nashville?
We set up our temporary headquarters for Tulane University in Nashville so we could monitor what was going on our campuses and in New Orleans and plan for all eventualities. So we have about 50 people here at the Loews Vanderbilt Hotel, and they represent all the major functions of the university, and basically this is control central.
And it looks like you'd set this up in advance.
We have. We went through Katrina 3 years ago, and it was a very difficult experience, and we learned an awful lot about how to handle disasters of this nature. One of the things we learned is to have a headquarters city that was designated where people would know where to go to so we could set up communications and everything we needed to handle whatever came our way.
And it's awful to have to put an emergency plan into effect. On the other hand, it's nice to have one.
Absolutely. We survived Katrina. Matter of fact, recovered very, very nicely from Katrina. But we realized that hurricanes are a way of life in the South, and therefore we had to make sure we had a very robust emergency plan. We made some changes to it. And quite honestly, we executed, I think, that plan very well during Gustav. And we're not out of the woods yet, but we're clearly feeling very optimistic about the impact or non-impact this will have on our campuses in New Orleans.
And as far as you can tell, and we're not out of the woods yet in terms of this storm, but as far as you can tell, what's been the effect on the campus?
It's been minimal. Just to contrast it to what happened in Katrina, during Katrina, we have two major campuses in Orleans Parish. One we call the Uptown area, the other downtown, which is where our medical school is and our hospital. Our entire downtown campus was flooded with an average of 3 feet of water 3 years ago. And 70% of our uptown campus, which is about 115 acres, was flooded. As of about an hour ago, we have no flooding on any of our campuses. As a matter of fact, there's not even much standing water. During Katrina, we had to close for an entire semester. We became the first major research university to actually have to close in America since the Civil War, and we sustained $650 million worth of damage. This one, the damage so far, based on what we know right now, is minimal. We will reopen this weekend and resume classes next Monday. And given that it was a holiday this weekend, we will have lost 4 days. So there's a big difference between Gustav and Katrina.
And you don't sound fearful at this point that after all of the hard work after Katrina, that you're going to have to do any of that again.
No, nothing like the magnitude before. From what we have heard, we have some roof tiles that are down. We have some windows that are broken. A couple power lines that are down. Those are things that we could actually remediate within 3 or 4 days. So right now we're breathing a sigh of relief. But as you said, New Orleans and anybody in New Orleans is not out of the woods yet, but we're certainly faring much better than we thought we would some 48 hours ago.
But more to the point, another major storm 3 years after the devastation of Katrina might have discouraged students, faculty, might have discouraged a lot of people.
Absolutely. And I think one of the things that people have been waiting to see is how New Orleans and, of course, its institutions like Tulane would respond in the event of another storm. If, in fact, we do recover Tulane and New Orleans, as we anticipate we will from this, I think actually that will instill more confidence in people about New Orleans and its future itself. And I have to say, I was one person who was fairly critical 3 years ago of how the federal, state, and local level authorities responded. I am not critical at all this time. Matter of fact, I'm laudatory about how the federal government, the state government, the local government has responded to this storm. That should instill confidence in people as they think about New Orleans. Plus, right now, and once again, I have to be careful because it really is right now, the levees that have been repaired seem to be doing their job, and we just have to keep our fingers crossed that that holds true.
Scott Cowan, thanks very much, and we wish you and your university the best of luck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good talking to you.
Scott Cowan, the president of Tulane University, joined us from his hotel room in Nashville, Tennessee, where they've set up a shadow administration to take care of business while the storm continues there in New Orleans and throughout Louisiana as it moves west and inland. If you're in the path of the storm, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get Paulette on the line. Paulette with us from Chattanooga in Tennessee.
Hi.
Hi, Paulette. Go ahead.
We're on our way to we just left Alabama, and now we're on our way to Tennessee, but we were wondering about the weather out there.
Out there in New Orleans?
No, in Houma, where it actually landed.
Houma, yes, indeed. The eye of the storm did land not far from Houma, a little bit south and west of New Orleans. And so far as we can tell, again, reports from there are not as quick to get here as they are from New Orleans itself. But so far as we can tell, it's been a lot of storm surge, not as much rain as feared.
Oh, okay. What about tornadoes? Did any of them hit home, or do y'all know?
I'm afraid I don't know that detail. We're not getting that level of reporting from that part of the state, but if we do find out more, we'll let you know as soon as we do.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Paulette. Good luck to you.
All right.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to Tony, and Tony's with us from Panama City in Florida.
Yeah, how you doing? Actually, I live in New Orleans now. I'm evacuated. I just happen to be driving by Panama City. But I was actually born in New Orleans and then moved around the country with the military, with my father in the Marines. And we grew up mostly in Minnesota, where my son is at the Republican National Convention. He's also volunteered down in New Orleans and also works with me as a contractor down in New Orleans. So our family kind of is in both ends of kind of the urgent news going on right now, the Republican convention. And
you're just moving through Panama City. Where's your eventual destination, do you think?
Well, actually, I'm supposed to be meeting some people talking about going back to New Orleans and doing work for the Gustav damage. But we're supposed to be meeting in Orlando, and now, of course, Hurricane Hanna's come in this direction. So I don't know if we're going to maybe push it more towards Tampa or something like that. But I have to say, I'd never been back to New Orleans until Katrina. I was in Pensacola doing work there for Ivan and then went to Katrina. And, you know, and it was very frustrating at the beginning. There was a lot of red tape. It was very hard to do business there. It was very hard to help people there because it was just, it almost seemed like we were working against the local and state governments, just trying to get things done. You know, not being able to pull permits or things not being approved, even though they were what they were supposed to be. But I see a lot of things changing now. And in the last year, New Orleans has really become a much, much better city. You know, I actually live right down the street from Tulane Law. You had the Tulane professor on there. And he's actually Tulane is a wonderful college. And if anybody's thinking about sending their kids to New Orleans, Tulane is a great place to go.
Tony, thanks for the call. We wish you the best of luck. And, of course, your son there in St. Paul is going to have an interesting week, too.
It will be.
Thanks very much for the call. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's see if we can go now to Barbara. Barbara with us from Atlanta in Georgia.
No, actually, I'm on my way to Atlanta, Georgia. This is my second time of evacuating. We did Katrina, too, and ended up having to live in Baton Rouge for a semester. My children were still in high school, and their schools were flooded out in New Orleans. So we got a home in Baton Rouge and decided to evacuate there. My daughter's at LSU now, and then we found out that Baton Rouge was going to get it probably worse than New Orleans. And we're with my 91-year-old mother, so we decided to go to our little farm in Mississippi, and we got an evacuation call from there last night. So now we're headed to Atlanta to hook up with my brother, who was permanently alienated from the city after Katrina because of job changes. So it's been a nice exodus.
Getting a tour of much of the South.
Yeah, it's lovely. My mother's enjoying it immensely. She never gets to ride for this period of time. She's been on the road for 3 days now. She's just loving it.
And do you feel at this point like these storms are aiming at you personally?
Sometimes I do. Actually, I'm just so glad we're dodging this bullet, or it seems so. My son is a senior this year at Jesuit High School in New Orleans, and the first thing he told me when we knew we were going to have to leave, he played his football game Friday night or Thursday night and said, God, Mama, I'm a senior. Am I going to lose my whole senior year and have to go to school and graduate from somebody's self? That's really, it's heartbreaking for these kids.
It must be really, really difficult. And again, so far, dodged the bullet, but we do remember hearing that phrase in the first day of Hurricane Katrina, too. So let's be cautious.
I was in Natchez, and we sat there and said, thank God. I can remember the Today Show, Sandra Day O'Connor saying, oh, thank God, New Orleans is so important. They dodged it. Then we got a call from my nephew who foolishly had stayed and was at the break of the canal and was on the phone and then just got swept away and swam, basically holding on to street signs, and made it out of the city miraculously. It was just horrible. You know, just this wall of water when the levee gave.
Well, thanks very much for the phone call, and travel safe, Barbara.
We will. Thank you so much.
So long. At this hour, Hurricane Gustav has been downgraded to a Category 1 storm. Gustav came ashore earlier today just west of New Orleans, and stay tuned to this NPR news station for more hurricane coverage. Also, coverage on many of these NPR stations later today at the Republican Convention in St. Paul, Minnesota, or you can listen online at npr.org. I'm Neil Conan. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News.